Racial tensions have been top of the news over recent weeks, with protests and riotings in the US over the deaths of young black men at the hands of white police. Prejudice is deeply ingrained in all our societies. The question is, how do you change that? It's a question that spurred scientists in the UK and Spain to come up with a novel approach. They're using the virtual world to put people into the body of another. So how do you do that? Professor Mel Slater is one of those scientists, professor of virtual environments at the University of Barcelona with a background in psychology. And he joins me now. Professor, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello, good morning.
Let's get into the theory in a minute, but I'm intrigued by the technical challenge. How do you put a person into the body of another person, in this case, a person of colour?
So you wear a head-mounted display, which gives you a stereo view of a virtual world, which is computer-generated. That head-mounted display is tracked. In other words, as you move your head, so the images update according to your head movement. So if you look down towards your body, instead of seeing your real body, you'll see a virtual body instead. Also, we can program it so that there is a mirror, a virtual mirror in the virtual world, and if you look into that mirror, you'll see reflected back your virtual body instead of your real body. So technically, it's quite straightforward to understand. It's just computer graphics, and it depends on your head movements, where you're looking.
And what impact does that have on somebody if you trick their mind like that?
Well, the results we have so far seem to indicate that if you take a person who is light-skinned and you put them in a dark-skinned body, it seems to, at least temporarily, reduce their implicit racial bias. And by implicit racial bias, I don't mean their explicit ideas, because the people could be quite liberal and quite not racist at all in their explicit attitudes. But implicit bias means who you might unconsciously sit next to on a bus or in a job interview, an implicit bias that you don't even know that you have or something like that. So it seems to affect that implicit bias. It seems to reduce it.
And how do you measure that?
Well, there's a test that was developed at Harvard called the implicit association test. And there's many of these, but there's one in particular for racial bias. And what it asks you to do is to very, very quickly, as fast as you can, categorize things like black and white faces with positive and negative attitudes.
So you don't have time to put a filter, a civilized filter on your reactions, is that it?
Yeah. So if you, for example, if you associate white faces with positive attributes faster than black faces with positive attributes, that means you have an implicit bias. So as I say, I want to repeat, it doesn't mean you're explicitly biased, but it's an implicit one that you're not even conscious of.
Now, all this research is based on a neurological theory called the rubber hand illusion. Can you explain what that is and how you applied it?
Yes. Well, the rubber hand illusion is a very basic example of what we do. In the rubber hand illusion, anyone can do it at home. You put a rubber hand or a glove on a table in front of you and hide your real hand, the corresponding real hand. And then someone taps the rubber hand or the glove at the same time as they tap your real hand synchronously. And what happens is, after, in many cases, just a few seconds, it's impossible to describe, it feels like the rubber hand is your hand. What's happening, the brain is integrating this multisensory information. It's seeing the touch on the rubber hand, it's feeling it on your real hand, the vision dominates, and the brain gives you the illusion that the rubber hand is your hand. So what we do in virtual reality is more sophisticated than that, because it's not just touch. You're seeing your whole body as you move. The virtual body moves with you. And of course, we can do it so that if something touches your virtual body, you can feel it in the same place as where you see the touch. So it's a very, very powerful illusion that the brain seems to accept that that's your body.
It reminds me, 50 years ago in 1961, John Howard Griffith, an American journalist, 44 years old, went to a dermatologist and turned his face black and passed as a black man for 6 weeks in the segregated American South, wrote that book, black like me. I mean, it was enlightening, but it also, at some level, it was also patronising. You know, why didn't he just go read the poetry of Langston Hughes or a book by James Baldwin? Why not ask a person of colour about their experience? Or, as we've seen in Sydney this week, walk up to somebody who is not from your cultural background and say, I'll ride with you on public transport and we'll get to know each other. Wouldn't that be a more lasting way to deal with the sort of implicit and explicit bigotry, racism, uncertainty that you're talking about?
Well, it's not. It's just another way. So what we're doing is we're giving people direct experience of what it's like to be another kind of person. So, for example, imagine police training. Imagine police in a sensitive situation where they're dealing with people from a minority group and there's trouble between the groups. Okay, so in the police training, let them experience how it is to be a member of that minority group, where a virtual policeman comes towards them and says, I'm going to stop and search you. So it's giving people, you can ask people and get their opinions and their ideas, but there's nothing better than actually virtually living it. I mean, of course, really living it would be even better, but virtually living it is what we can do. So when you put someone in that actual situation, they can get the feelings, the attitudes, the emotions, and so on that they could get in the same real situation. Mm. So it's not opposed to what you say, it's just another way.
Personally,
I think it's more powerful, but that's a matter of opinion.
Fascinating, fascinating work. Thank you so much for telling us about it.
You're welcome.
Mel Slater, Professor of Virtual Environments at the University of Barcelona. He also works at the University College London in the Department of Computer Sciences.